Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, one of our regulars, Rochester sports icon, 13 WHIM sports director, Mike Catalana. Hey, Mike, how are you? Mike, are you there? Oh, boy.
Lost you for a second.
There
I got
There he is.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Hey, bud.
What's going on?
Well, Mike, how should we feel after a win over the Miami Dolphins? That's kind of what we were hoping to have back in October when the game was up here. So what do you make out of a comfortable win over a team that's openly tanking?
Yeah, I'd say the openly tanking part is, look, they're not putting the highest quality of player on the field, but that team has at least played with some heart the last few weeks. They probably felt pretty good coming into the game. But what have we been looking for? We've been looking for the Bills to look like the better team. And I didn't even think they did that against the Redskins, even though that game was, what, 24-9? I mean, they looked better, but, you know, Adrian Peterson ran all over them. We know about all these games. I mean, they just never really looked like the dominant team. I thought they did yesterday. Thought Miami made, you know, the kick return and the onside kick kept it closer than it should have been, even though the Bills got the ball back after the onside. But, you know, they made those couple of plays, but there was no doubt the Bills were going to end up winning that game. I thought it was impressive as it can be against a team like Miami. So on the road, winning by 70, well, I take that back. Was it a road game?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was in warm weather, but there's a lot of Bills fans there. But, hey, look, what have we been asking for them to do? Be the better team. Go beat the bad teams and move to the next one. That was good. Because now that's pretty much done, I think. I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule, even Denver this week and the Jets the last week, those are teams that are coming here thinking they can win. So, now the work really begins.
Mike, Devin Singletary, nice game, 5 yards per carry, but the two fumbles. Now, they didn't cost the Bills because they recovered them, but do you think that might be part of the reason why we didn't see Devin Singletary as much as we would have liked for the good part of the beginning of the season?
You know, I was wondering about that. I was wondering if they had some concerns about it. We hadn't really seen that. And then he puts him on the turf. What a great play by John Brown, by the way. Bills are really good at recovering fumbles, aren't they? I mean, they've had a lot of practice at it, but really good at it. That was a huge play yesterday. Look, Singletary is really good, but when it got, you know, to the part of running the clock, they give the ball to Gore a few times because they know it's one thing about Frank, man. He may not be busting them loose, but he's going to hold on to the football. That's concerning. And we talked about it before with Allen. You start putting the ball in the turf, and then people start going after the football. And you know, he did it twice yesterday, so we'll see how they approach it. But, he's still got to be a big part of this offense. But it is funny. When you're throwing the ball away, Allen was yesterday, nobody was whining and complaining about not giving the ball to Singletary more because the Bills were just walking up and down the field with the passing game. So, Allen certainly dominated the game yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny, like walking up and down the field. Okay, so he didn't throw for 300 yards. Mike, he didn't have to. He didn't need to yesterday. I was just hoping in the second half, can they just connect on one so we can just be done talking with this? Because to me, that's just a random number. When you have a dominating performance like that, that kind of tells me what I need to know. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, look, he played a really good football game yesterday. It's funny. I pointed out all the good things he did. And I just pointed out on Twitter that on the touchdown run, which was a spectacular athletic play, he's got the ball in one hand as he's running to the end zone. Well, you know some Bills fans. They don't like hearing anything at all about Josh. And here I'm saying, Josh had a great game, but he's got that ball exposed. And when you're running towards the end zone, you remember that Derek Carr play? I think it was last year, going to the end zone. When you're going to the end zone, and that ball, if that ball were to get knocked loose and goes through the end zone, you lose possession. It goes to the opponent.
Right.
It goes to the 20-yard line. I would say when they're saying to him to be fearless, not reckless, I thought that was a little bit on the reckless side. It's a third down run. He's heading for the corner. He's got the ball in one hand. Now, look, it worked. He got a touchdown. There was no problem. But it would be almost like saying, hey, he's fumbled it 11 times, but they've recovered 8 of them, so it's not that big a deal. He exposed the football out there when he did not really need to, and that's the kind of thing I need to see him work on. But his game was about 98% good yesterday, and I think the Bills will take that every time.
Mike, what about Brian Daboll being up in the booth? We noticed that early in the game, and what do you think? I can imagine if you're a fan, you could view that through a positive or a negative lens, depending on your point of view. How do you view that?
I don't see it as a positive or a negative. I look at it more like, they weren't doing some of the things they wanted to see done. Now, I'll be curious when Daboll talks today what he will say. I'm wondering if it was as much as Sean McDermott's suggestion to do that. A lot of defensive coordinators have done that. They go up top. Some guys like to be on the field. Offensive coordinators, depends on who it is. I would always think it's funny. We talk about it with our guys. Like, I'll be up in the press box seeing things that there is no chance they have seen on the field. I mean, when you're standing there, you guys have been down on the field before. You really can't see. You need eyes up in the press box. But most of them like that contact with the player. They like to be standing there, right there, talking to them. And they don't get that when you're calling the plays from up top. We'll see how long it goes. I'm going to guess it's going to continue. I mean, it worked well. Allen seemed to be comfortable. And he's got Dorsey down on the field. I don't know if you want to read into it to think it's pushing Daboll back a spot. I don't think so. He's calling the plays. So, and I thought he called a really good game yesterday. So maybe he wanted it. Maybe it's something they've talked about. But like I said, when it works, I think they're going to stick with it.
We're tied at 13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana as the Bills get the win in Miami. When we look ahead here to Denver, you do have an injury here we got to talk about, that being Ty Anseki. Denver runs a 3-4, so for Cody Ford, is that a big drop-off, or is this somebody that, the Bills drafted him in the second round for a reason here, Mike? So how big a loss is Anseki in your opinion?
I think it's a pretty big loss. I think Ford has been, like a rookie. And I think he struggled enough that they keep putting Anseki in there. And look, you're not getting both of them. If one's having a little better day, you go with the other one. You're down a guy, and he's been pretty consistent for them. So I know they want Ford to take over that position. They were not ready to give it to him full time, but he's going to get it full time now. So like you said, you drafted him high for a reason. There are guys like this that sometimes when the training wheels have to come off and they step up a little bit, that they start playing better. Seems to get some penalties. Got one yesterday, but they're going to need him. I think it's a loss. I think it's definitely a loss. But, all things being taken into consideration, look at where we are. 10 games into the season, the Bills are still incredibly healthy. When you look around the league at what injuries teams have, right? Harrison Phillips and Ty Anseki. Am I missing somebody?
No, that's it.
That's it. That is incredible. So it's good fortune, good training, all those things going together, but they'll miss them. But, there's teams dealing with a lot worse than the Bills are right now.
And we don't spend enough time, I think, so far this year. We haven't, at least recently, spent a lot of time talking about the performance of this offensive line, Mike. I mean, we don't talk about it, and that's probably a good thing because they're doing their job. I feel like Allen has all kinds of time, and there's not a ton of pressure. They're able to, open up holes for the run game. I mean, what Bobby Johnson has done with this offensive line and piecing together a whole bunch of guys that didn't play together last season is it's pretty remarkable, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think any of the three of us could have coached this line and been better than last year's line because they were so bad. But that's not a slight on Bobby Johnson. I think he's done a great job because you mentioned this line is good now. They've had their moments. They've had some games where it's not going as well as they wanted. But yesterday I was interesting. I was watching the line do a really good job, and I also watched Allen stay in the pocket when he needed to. They're building that pocket for him. It's not always going to be 100% clean, but he had room. He didn't just bail out and make a run, get out of the pocket too quickly. I think they played in concert with each other really well. And their run blocking has been good. I mean, Singletary bounces through the line. And like you said, he got 5 yards to carry, and they busted him for a couple, one early and then one in the third, the one he fumbled. So, yeah, I think you got to be pretty happy with the way the offensive line has played. That being said, you know, you've got some real challenges coming up in this last part of the year. I mean, Dallas has a really good defensive line. Baltimore's playing like an angry defense these days. You know about New England. Denver, as you just mentioned, Denver's got a heck of a defense. And so do the Jets, actually. The Jets' defense is pretty good. So there's nothing left that's easy for this O-line, and that's what they're going to need them to do going forward.
So, Mike, if we look ahead at that schedule, you know, we want to get to 10. If we want to get to 10, where are, you know, let's go ahead and pencil we shouldn't do this, but let's pencil in Denver. Let's say Denver gets you to 8. Is it the Jets and Pittsburgh, or do you see this as a you know, is there a potential for maybe a surprise on Thanksgiving for the Buffalo Bills?
You know, here's the way I look at it. Yeah, look, if you're saying the way this season has gone, they don't really have a loss that was a stunner, and they don't really have a win that was a stunner, right? Am I missing that somewhere? It was twice I've asked you, because I guess, you know, old age, I'm starting to forget things. But am I missing something? Right? They've won the games they're supposed to win. They've won a couple that would have been back and forth, you know, like the Jets game and the Titans game. And they lost to the Eagles, who were desperate, you know, that type of thing. But there isn't a game there that you go, I can't believe they lost to the Bengals. You know, like the Cowboys lost to the Jets at home in that game. But, you know, they don't have that. And they don't have a win that you go, wow, that's, you know, the signature win right now is at Tennessee, right? So it's not like that. I just have this feeling that there's maybe one of each coming, right? That there's one. We're sitting here thinking those are the winnable games, and it's true. But that they're going to steal one that they shouldn't and maybe go the other way, I don't know. But I still have a feeling of those games. And you know what the truth is? I think the team they match up best with of the teams that they will be underdogs against is the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think the Bills match up better with the Patriots than they do with Baltimore or Dallas.
Agreed.
Well, it is, and how much of that, Mike, and I'm assuming you watched the game against the Eagles yesterday, because I have this impression of the Patriots. This is an offense right now on fumes. They're just getting by guile. I mean, could this really be the end of the Patriots?
Well, look, their defense is really, really good, obviously. Now, again, this is not an excuse with the Eagles, but just they just can't stay healthy. I mean, no Jeffrey yesterday, no Jackson, of course, no Jordan Howard. They lost Lane Johnson in the game. And, you know, they moved down the field once, but no excuse in that. That New England defense is really good. But offensively, I mean, Brady did nothing in the game. He did nothing in the game. That one touchdown was on an Edelman throw. I mean, they got great field position, and he was getting them field goals. And they just kept punting the ball back to the Eagles. I mean, it was similar to what the Bills' New England game was. So when I say they match up better with them, they don't have great weapons. They don't throw the ball deep, you know, in that sense. And I think if you look at those games, I think that's the game. Now, again, that's not taking into consideration. It's the Bills, it's the Patriots, and it's in Foxborough. But I think they match up well with that game. And wouldn't that be the great way to make the playoffs, by going to Foxborough and winning that game? I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm telling you, it's not the crazy, you know, thought that it was in the past few years. If they can get the job done with, like, this Denver game, maybe steal, you know, who knows even about Baltimore. I mean, they look great right now, but they've got to come to Orchard Park or Dallas. But it would be a heck of a lot of fun if they're coming off a win in Pittsburgh going to New England.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana, will the special teams cost the Buffalo Bills a game at some point, Mike?
Boy, I tell you, that was alarming. And, you know, it's funny. You know, the problem Steven Hauschka was having, I don't put any of that on the special teams coach. I mean, it's Steven Hauschka. He's got the same holder, the same snapper. It's on the kicker, right? He's not really breaking down his kicking. I mean, they do a little bit of that, but these guys have done it for a long time. They know what they know how they are. They know how they respond. So it's really about the coverage units. It's about all the other things. And they were blindly unaware of the onside kick yesterday. I mean, that was just, he stole that one. And then the return, they've given up a few big returns this year. And I think that was costly yesterday, certainly from a momentum circumstances. It looked like it was going to get them back in the game. But in the same way, you got to worry about it. It has not been a strength. I said he was the one guy that did not have any fun in the sun yesterday, Farwell. I mean, that was a bad game for them. And, you know, I'm sure they're trying to tighten it up. And like I said, you know, there's another thing about that. When you don't have injuries, you stay pretty consistent on special teams. You know, a lot of times when the second and third string guys have to play, it really impacts what you do on special teams because you got all different guys in there. Well, it basically had the same units out there because they've been healthy. And that doesn't bode well for him.
Mike, always gracious with your time joining us here in the Sports Bar. I want to make sure you're telling our listeners what you got working over at 13 WHAM Sports.
Today we're going to be talking a little bit more about, well, certainly about Allen and his connections with John Brown, who was so good yesterday. It was great to see him break out. I mean, the guy's been really, really good all year, but thought he played like a real number one wide receiver yesterday. So we'll be talking about that on 13. And then on BuffaloPlus.com, I've got my takeaways on the game. We'll have our rankings of how Josh did yesterday. Great stuff with the fans in Miami from yesterday and the Bills players talking about just the way they approached yesterday. I thought it was a good message. I thought Sean McDermott had a really good week after he got a little snarky, which It's okay that time of the year. But I thought his team really responded to him. So we got all that going on. So you can check that out on BuffaloPlus.com.
Mike, just one quick thing, because I know you ran into danger in Cleveland. We haven't talked since then. And you know, the fans down in Miami, you had the fans in Tennessee.
Yep.
Is this Bills fan base traveling better than they ever have? I mean, all of a sudden, the Bills have become a road draw, it seems.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. I always think about the fan bases that are just national, right? The Cowboys are one of those, and the Green Bay Packers, right? That they're national. So when they go... Sure, there's people leaving Green Bay, Wisconsin to go see them, but the reality is the Packers are just one of those teams, right? So when they go in other cities, there's always a ton of Packers fans. But I think there's certain cities where the fans travel. I thought Pittsburgh has always been one of those. Their fans go wherever they are. And I know the Eagles fans have been that way for a long time. The Bills don't have to take second place to anybody, especially this year. I know, you know, Nashville's cool and Cleveland's not that far away and all, but you're talking about thousands of people taking over the stadium. And I think it really says something. I want Bills fans to be known for that, not the stupid breaking table stuff.
I agree with that. Absolutely. But then it's also, I find it maddening, though, when you go to a Bills game at Orchard Park and you find that, you know, 20 to 30% of the stadium is filled with Eagles fans. Or last season when I went to the Bears game, it was the same. I mean, if we want to have this narrative of the Bills being the best fan base in the NFL, then that needs to change, too. Because let's face it, you're going to Miami. It's pretty easy to get a ticket to see the Dolphins in Miami. Yeah. They suck.
Yes, it should be harder to get the tickets out of Bills fans in Orchard Park, is what you're saying.
Correct.
It should be like, I think even Cleveland fans, finally, I think the Bills game might have put them over the top, and they had a whole big campaign to say, don't sell tickets to Pittsburgh fans when they're coming to town. You know, because it does look bad when you have that. I think in Orchard Park, yes, I mean, there was a nice percentage of Eagles fans. There's always some visiting fans. I remember a Pittsburgh game a few years ago that half the stadium was Steeler fans. And that really is a strange sight to see in Orchard Park. You'll get those. But when we're talking about Bills fans, I mean, you know what it was like in Cleveland. And yesterday, I mean, we have shots. It looks like a home game.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I don't know the rest of the way. I was thinking about this. Wouldn't it be cool if Bills fans could take over Foxborough? I mean, you know, they're a pretty spoiled fan base there. Maybe they don't want to go see the Bills in December. That would be great to see 10,000 Bills fans in Foxborough in December. But I don't know if it'll be quite the same draw as going to Nashville or Miami.
Mike, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas. We'll see how it goes this week.
You got it. Mike Catalana. Always great catching up with the icon. 13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
You know, if you've ever been to a Sabres-Leafs game, we've talked about this. It's it's awful from a Sabres fan point, but that's where season ticket holders make their money back.
Oh, so. We have the best fans in the league, the best fan base in all of the NHL, the best fan base in the NFL. We're the best fans. Look, I want to believe that, but spare me until we actually are the best fans.
I will say this, though. From what I've seen, and I'm glad Mike verified it, that the Bills are, their fan base is traveling more than they ever have before.
They've always gone to Miami. I mean, Miami's always been a destination for this team and for this fan base. But I think it just helps this year that Miami's a dumpster fire. I mean, think about where they're traveling to and the teams that they're playing on the road. They're not, Cleveland's not a good team. Tennessee. Not a really good transient city, not a good team.
How about Pittsburgh, a team that is just barely alive right now? Maybe they're out of it by the time mid-December rolls around. Do you think Bills fans can get in and take over that stadium?
I think if
that would be a test.
Right. I think if Pittsburgh fan knows that they're not making the postseason, then Pittsburgh fan might not want to go to that game.
That's one you don't.
Sure.
Yeah. That's absolutely a good test. Yeah.
All right. Takes on tap. I'll Drink to That is on the way next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We haven't even talked about the debacle on Saturday afternoon, the Colin Kaepernick workout. I have an opinion on that I'd like to share.
If you were listening to the pregame show yesterday, and Eric Wood does a good job talking with Sean McDermott, gets to open up, but Eric Wood shared a story that I just think is so fascinating, how one Bills coach was so ill-prepared going down to Miami. This is, okay, I've narrowed it down to one or two guys that this coach could be, because we've had some bad ones over the years, so I'll retell that story that Eric Wood told on the air yesterday.
And a new rule in the Sports Bar, it's not going to make my co-host happy. He's not going to be happy that I'm going to say this, but I am going to say it. A new rule that I have to share. We're going to stop being frauds as fans. All right, I'll explain. We're going to get into that more next. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, I'll Drink to That on AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.